heritage of miracles. Let's pray. Father, we're nothing without you, Lord. We're just dust. We're just clay, Lord. But I thank you, Lord, that in your abundant mercy and in your infinite grace, you have chosen us. You have chosen us, Lord, to be your children, your family. You've called us to be brothers and sisters in Christ and heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What a privileged people we are. Hallelujah. You've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us a seat at your table. Thank you, Lord, that we are not what we were before. I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. Hallelujah. And so we give you the praise, Lord, that we have a heritage of miracles. Lord, we are people of the Spirit. We are members of the kingdom of heaven. Even while we're here on earth, Lord, we are still seated with Christ in heavenly places. Somebody who believes that, say amen. Amen. So, Father, bless this word to our hearts and bless our lives for your service. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. I'd like us to look at Deuteronomy chapter 1 and then Deuteronomy chapter 31. One at the beginning and one at the very end of Deuteronomy as we look at this morning, a heritage of miracles. Deuteronomy 1, 30 and 31. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you, as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes, and in the wilderness. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a father carries his son. All the way you went until you reached this place. I want to apply that verse to our church, but I also want it to just sink in for a moment for us personally. All right? I want you to think about how this applies to you personally. Everybody, just tune in with me for a second. The Lord your God is going before you. You personally, your family. The Lord your God will fight for you. You personally, your family. Amen. As he did in Egypt before your very eyes. And in the wilderness, there you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son. All the way you went until you reached this place. You are in this place this morning because God has brought you this far. The reason you haven't died, the reason you haven't given up, the reason you haven't been taken out by Satan is because God has carried you this far. Somebody say amen. You're alive and well because of the faithfulness of God. And guess what? The best is yet to come. God has a future for you as well. Not only has he been faithful in the past, but he will be faithful to you in the future. Deuteronomy 31, be strong. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, that is the enemies. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. The Lord your God goes with you. Say it with me. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. As I've been preparing for this special groundbreaking Sunday, I've been meditating in the book of Deuteronomy. And I've found such inspiration in Moses recounting the story of Israel's miraculous history. The entire book of Deuteronomy is a recounting of what God had done for Israel up to that moment as they were about to now go to a new chapter. They're about to turn a page on the past and enter a new beginning, a new season, if you please. And there at the beginning or at the Jordan River and at Kadesh Barnea, they were about to enter the promised land, and Moses takes almost the entire book of Deuteronomy to tell and retell the story of all that God has done. There's something powerful about recounting and reminding ourselves and remembering the goodness of God and reminding ourselves that we have seen miracles in the past. And even when you feel down and out, letting yourself know that God's not through yet. It's not time to throw in the towel because the God we serve is a God of the future. He's a God of miracles. He's a God who keeps his promises. He will never fail you. He's never left you, and He never will leave you. He loves you, and He always will love you. He has a good plan for your life, and He always will have a good plan for your life. So this morning, I want to take some time to remember and retell the facts of God's goodness, even as Moses did on this special occasion as Joshua was about to take the baton from Moses. Are you with me this morning? Very significant time. It was a time of transition, a beginning of a new season, if you please. So with the passages from Deuteronomy as a framework, I want to reaffirm the importance of trusting God's good plan, that you can trust the plan of God in spite of your enemies. You can celebrate in the presence of your enemies, because God prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He anoints my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. I will celebrate in the presence of my enemies. And God is saying, will you trust me where you are now? Don't think that you come all this way by yourself. Some of you have come from other countries. God has brought you for such a time as this. I want you to remember this morning the importance of trusting in God's good plan and responding with faith and action. Last week we talked about the power to change the world is found in three words: faith, inspired action. When your actions are a result of your faith and your faith results in action, you can change the world. The whole Bible is full of ordinary people who changed the world because they obeyed God. They weren't special in themselves. They weren't smarter than anybody else. They weren't stronger than anybody else. They were just ordinary. As a matter of fact, there were some of the weakest people that God chose. But they just believed that God was good. They just decided that I'm going to follow God. If I'm going to die, I'm going to die believing in God. Hallelujah. The importance of faith and action that come from a heart that is loyal to Him. When God takes the time to recount His blessings, He's telling us, fight for a heart that is loyal to Him. Because Satan wants to interfere with our loyalty to God. Here's a word for somebody today. If you walk in truth and obedience to God, He will write an amazing story with your life. I don't know about you, but that gets me. Story of my life is not over yet. God is still writing my story. And the end of the story will depend on whether or not you really follow Him and trust Him. And continue to trust Him and obey Him. If you trust Him and obey Him, as the old song says, little is much when God is in it. I feel like today the Lord prophetically is saying, put your weaknesses on the altar. Put your offering, whatever size it is, put it on the altar. Put your loved one on the altar. Put your job on the altar. Put the problem in your life on the altar. Whatever it is in weakness, the Lord says, I will show my strength, for my power is greater than your weakness. Hallelujah. If you trust Him and obey Him, He will write an amazing story with your life. Yesterday we had the privilege of celebrating with a bunch of young people the 25th anniversary of the Chi Alpha ministry at University of Central Florida, UCF. It was an outdoor event. We were freezing out there, but we huddled together to try to keep warm. And what it reminded me of, as I looked at those dozens and dozens and dozens of young people, the weather reminded me of the fact that many of the times that we did reach out at Chi Alpha, it's 1994 when we began, by the grace of God, we began that ministry. There were times when it was raining. There were times when the authority says, no, you can't do this outreach. There were times when we didn't have enough money. There were all kinds of obstacles. But we stepped out in faith. Hallelujah. I didn't have any special training to be a campus pastor. I didn't have no fancy degree. I went to Bible school for 3 years, and then I followed Jesus for 50. Somebody say amen. I wasn't smart enough. I wasn't sharp enough. I definitely wasn't cool enough. But guess what? Back in 1994, along with our daughter Lori, we put out a table in front of the big library there. We started handing out tracts. The next thing you know, we made some friends. We invited the students to come to our house. We lived 4 miles away from the campus. On Monday nights, they would come and pray. My wife would cry on the floor. And God began to raise up a ministry there that is still going on after 25 years. Why? Because it's not any goodness or any special quality that we have. It's our obedience that God, it's our faith that God notices. God notices your faith. God is blessed by your obedience. When you step out, one night I was so upset. We were supposed to have a 3-day event, and they said a tropical storm was coming in. Some of you have heard this story, but for those of you who are new here, and there it was, you know, don't watch the Weather Channel when you're planning an outdoor event. Don't watch the Weather Channel, because they enhance the problem. They put in red all this cloud activity and the storm that's coming at you. It's heading right for Orlando. And so I told my wife, I'm so discouraged. We planned for months for this big event. We had trucks coming in. We had the Salvation Army. We had students from Southeastern College coming in. I mean, it was a big deal. Youth with a Mission was involved. I said, I'm just going to go out and pray. I'm going to cry out to God. It was the night before the event. I'm out there praying with my whole heart, and all of a sudden, I felt something on my face. It was water. It started to rain. I'm like, seriously, God? I mean, come on now. And the next morning, it was drizzling. And my wife said, don't be afraid. She said, just go. Just go. I'll stay here and pray. I said, but it's raining. We got to call this off. And as I went there, we didn't have cell phones in 1994. At least we didn't, anyway. But I got on the payphone, and I'm calling somebody. It was like, I think it was Teen Challenge or somebody that we were going to call the event off. And somebody taps me on the shoulder. It was the guy from Teen Challenge. He says, everything's set up. We set the whole thing up. I said, what do you mean? We're calling it off? No, it's all set. So did Pastor Dave have a lot of great faith at that point? Not really. Not really. But some ordinary people were praying, and God had a cause that was greater than me. Hallelujah. Is there not a cause? Somebody say amen. When the cause is great, God will use anybody who follow him. God will use a slingshot. God will use a little boy's lunch. God will use a shovel. Hallelujah. And you dig in the desert. Hallelujah. Even when it's not raining. God will use what you have for his glory when you yield yourself to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 7. I feel like this verse applies to me especially. The Lord 7:7. The Lord did not set his love on you or choose you because you were more in number than any of the peoples, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, oh, I love those words, and he kept the oath, the promise which he swore to your forefathers. The Lord brought you out by a mighty hand. This is Moses reminding Israel of what God had done, telling Israel about the heritage of miracles. Are you with me this morning? And redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. It was not because we're the biggest church. It's not because we've got the most talent. It's not because we're the smartest and the most relevant or whatever. But it's because he loved us. He chose Catalyst Church 30 years ago. Somebody say amen. Amen. So let's take a few moments this morning to remember and reflect on some of the great faithfulness of God to this church over the last 30 years. And if you're new, I hope you're inspired. If you've heard these testimonies before, please get encouraged again. Get excited again, because God needs to be praised. As a matter of fact, that's what I love about the Thanksgiving season. We get to reflect and think about all that God has done and be thankful for what he has done. Approximately 30 years ago, A woman by the name of Gwen Hawkins opened her home in the Meadowood area by the Meadowood Elementary School. And out of that humble beginning, a little church began. It was called Church in the Meadowoods at first, right? Church in the Meadowoods at first. Then it became known as Crossroads Community Church. And now Catalyst International Church. There were enemies who hated us, didn't want this church. The devil fought against it. When this property was purchased, it was a miracle. This property was owned by the Landstar Building Corporation. It was a showroom for them to show model homes and so on. There were people who would regularly come and pray against this church, if you can believe that. How many of you know that if the devil's not bothering you, you actually should be worried? The devil doesn't bother you when you're backslidden. When you step up and you're doing something, that's when the devil tries to bother you. There were enemies, but the church persevered. There were some who were self-seeking. There were some who were jealous. Amen. I'm going to read you a verse from Numbers 23 that says, no curse can touch Jacob. 23:23. No magic. It's not on the screen. No magic has any power against Israel. Soon the people of God will say, what wonders God has done. Ooh, I love that. I got to read that again. It just makes me feel so good. No curse can touch Jacob. No magic has any power against Israel. Soon the people of God will say, what wonders God has done. And that's the blessing I pray over Catalyst. Hallelujah, that a year from now, and 2 years from now, and 5 years from now, and even 50 years from now, people will stand up and say, what wonders God has done. Lord, I believe prophetically today, November 17th, is a turning point in the history of this church. I'm so thrilled there's so many folks here, Lord, to be a part of this Memorial Day, Lord, to remember this significant moment in the history of this church. I want to focus for a moment on the last 6.5 years so I can personally tell you what we have witnessed. My wife and I have been here about 6.5 years now. This is some of the things we have personally witnessed. So we are eyewitnesses. Say, I'm an eyewitness. So when we arrived, we found a wonderful core of faithful people. A core of wonderful people who were facing a building that was about to fall apart. I'm serious. Out here, when you look at this little patio, and there's a portico there, and over, what do they call that, a covered portico, a covered area. If you looked up, you could see right through to the sky. And it was so bad that my brother, who's a general contractor, said, you need to put yellow tape out here. This is a dangerous area. And that's how people don't walk out here because this could all collapse. There was a hole in the back of the building, I'm not exaggerating, larger than the largest suitcase you have. Like this, right through the stucco. I mean, an actual hole that rain was coming in inside the building through that back room, the storage room. Where's Brother Seymour? Raise your hand. He had to rebuild the whole wall back there. What was happening with that wall back there? It was rotten. It was leaking. It was falling down. That wall behind you, brother, where Brother Sister Felicia said, that wall also was rotting and had to be rebuilt. The wall in the ladies' bathroom was collapsing and coming down. Folks, I want to tell you, this church was in bad shape physically. But spiritually, there was a core of people who were loyal, faithful, praying people who had some guts and had some vision. I want everyone who was back here 7 years or 6 years or more, stand up for a minute. Everyone who was one of the people in the beginning, stand up, give them a hand. I have a good word for you today. God says, I commend you for not throwing in the towel. Congratulations. You didn't give up. And some of them are here 20 years or more. But those of us who are new, we need to thank God for them. Amen? The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. God bless you. God bless you. So, we had an appraisal come. We had a mortgage that was about $486,000. And this was back in 2013. And an appraiser from our mortgage company came to reappraise the building. He comes up with an appraisal of $350,000. So do the math. That's called being underwater. You have a mortgage of 486, you have an appraisal of 350. That's not good. But God began to do some miracles. That was man's appraisal. And as is so often the case, man's appraisal is a false appraisal. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. While we're having dinner with Damaris and Joel Aviles, who are out today on ministry, Damaris, who works for the appraiser's office, just so happens, coincidentally, while we're having dinner, the office was closed. It was on a Sunday night. I don't remember. A Friday night, she takes out her little cell phone and she connects with her office and she figures out what the real appraisal of the church was. And right there at that little dinner we had, she says, your building's not worth $350. It's worth almost $700,000. Somebody give God some praise in the house. As you can imagine, I had some words with the mortgage company. As we begin to pray and hold on to God, God began to bless us with a fresh vision of the church that we could become. His preferred future. Yes, we are what we are now, but we're also becoming what God sees. And this is very important. Now, please stay with me because I'm telling you, this is a historic day. So as we prayed, God gave us this vision. And here's what happened. He said, you are the church you are, but I promise you I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You are the church you are now, but you're becoming, everybody say becoming, the church that I envision. You know, some smart aleck wrote to my wife on Facebook. Because, you know, our slogan is becoming the church God sees. And this guy says, well, why do you think you're special? God sees all churches. Yes, God does see all churches, but that's not what we mean by that saying. What we mean is we're becoming the church, not that God sees, but the church that God envisions. The church that God believes that we can be. Do you see the difference? God sees what is, but he also sees beyond what is to what our future is. And we're becoming God's preferred future. Hallelujah. That's what we're saying. So God began to do miracles. The first one was a $5,000 miracle. And I'm looking at Nikki because she'll never forget. On a Wednesday night, the roof was leaking like crazy here. I mean, Brother Lanre can tell you stories. He was the bucket brigade captain. Bucket brigade captain. Of jumping on his bicycle and running down here when it was raining. To put buckets out. And so I'll never forget, this was right at the beginning, probably in 2013. And Nikki's praying her heart out, Lord, you can send a child to help us fix this roof, whatever it takes, God, whether it's $10 or $1,000. Lord, please notice this, that we need help, you know. And so right after the prayer meeting, we went in down the hall and had a council meeting, one of the first ones that I had as the new pastor. And unbeknownst to me, somebody comes to the door, and Nikki, you can clarify if I'm saying this wrong, knocks on the door and says, I had this, I'm not with the church anymore, I've moved away, but I had this check that I wanted for your roof, for the building program, and I want you to give it to the church. And she comes down the hall, knocks on the door, it was a check for $475, something like that, $435. So I showed it to the council, I said, oh, this is encouraging. Look at this. We just got $435. Unbeknownst to me, that Saturday, in my mailbox was a check for $5,000 from heaven. Hallelujah. I tell you, it was from heaven. Because where's Carmelita? Is Carmelita here today? She's somewhere else. She's in the back. All right. Carmelita had tried during this time, between 2012 and 2013, to raise some money to fix the roof, along with everyone else. She had raised about $5,000. But then, because our mortgage payment was so high and the church was a little smaller at that time, they couldn't afford it, so they had to use that $5,000 for the roof to pay the mortgage. And so on that Sunday, I was able to have Nikki, I think Nikki came up, and Carmelita, and I had put the check in Carmelita's hand, a $5,000 check. I said, this is the money that you tried to raise. God said, I saw your faith. God says, I saw your faith. I saw that you did, even in your weakness, you tried to fix this roof. And here God is responding from heaven. This is a beginning of a new day. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm going to just go a little faster. People began to give sacrificially. As a result, we were able to repair all the stucco around the building. We did major repairs on the roof. We replaced three of our commercial air conditioners out there. We spent probably within a year or two almost $50,000 in repairs on this building that you guys gave. We restarted this. I'm really excited about. We restarted our missions program. When we got here 6.5 years ago, the missions program had fallen into, what would you call it, doldrums, or just was not there at that point. There was one years ago, but we restarted by God's grace. And we began to see people give towards missions. We began to understand the power of being an outwardly focused church, that you cannot outgive God. Somebody say amen. That the more you give God, the more God can trust you. Hallelujah. We began to see that we were an international church, called to be a missions church. We were called to touch the nations of the world. And our support for missionaries kept growing from one missionary to two to three to four to five to now where we are up to 16 missionaries that we're giving every month. And we've never missed one payment in 5 years, 5.5 years. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. I am determined that nobody's going to miss this morning. This past year, we were able to raise enough funds, in addition to our building program, to build a church in Kenya. Somebody get excited and say amen. The picture is on the wall out there. Go look at the picture. These were people in Kenya who were, our missionary Wayne Derry was that were meeting under a tree for years. And if it rained, they had to get rained on. If the sun was beating on them, they were meeting under a tree. And for $8,000, it took us about a year to raise it, but for $8,000, we built a church in Kenya that's now a sister church. It's called Catalyst International Church of Kenya. Somebody say amen. I'm going as quick as I can. With the help of God, we were able to add staff, a facilities manager. That was Captain Lonray back there, the Bucket Brigade guy. Facilities man, he has the fancy title of facility manager. Make sure you salute him when you go. Associate Pastor Angela was added on staff. Somebody praise the Lord for Pastor Angela. Children's Director Marie and Jason, who are not here today, had to be away today, but Maria and Jason Torres, Children's Director. And now we have interns that are serving with us, Harry and Jedi Medrano, ministry to our young people. Our church is a church of ministry teams. Did you know we didn't have a connection center a couple of years ago, right, Lourdes? Right. Lourdes and Pastor Angela conspired with me to have a connection center. Brother Seymour put it together. The church purchased that desk and everything. We now have a connection center. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We have a worship team. We have a youth ministry team. We have a children's team. We have an intercessors team, a woman of purpose. We have outreach ministry. We have Vanguard men. We have ushers and greeters. We have hospitality. We have a media ministry, finance ministry, connection center, audio CD. Where's Janine White? Janine, where are you? Don't miss the audio CD ministry, our dear sister. We have a communion prep, which is Steve. With all of you ministry people who are involved in those ministries, please stand at this time. I want to give you a hand. Come on. All the ministry teams. Come on. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. Amen. Yes, in our council, all of our council members, Donna and Matthew and Jason and Joel. Joel, who's not here, he's out preaching today. This is a church of teams. Hallelujah. In 2016, we started the 2020 vision, 4 years ago, almost 4 years ago now. 3 years ago. At the church's anniversary at the Osceola Performing Arts Center, we rolled out the vision, the 2020 vision. And the 2020 vision said basically, provide a space, a chair, a place for somebody to know God in the new building. And that's what these little chairs are. And everybody who took a pledge by faith got one of these little chairs. And to this day, people are faithfully paying those pledges. To God be the glory. And in a minute, I'm going to tell you what those pledges have amounted to. In approximately 6 years, because of your giving, because of your faith, because of your obedience to God, our mortgage has gone from $486,000 to down to about $220,000. Somebody give God praise. In addition to that, we have paid pre-construction costs. You know, there's a lot of pre-construction. You have to do a new survey. There's civil engineering. There's topographical studies. There's the ground earth study, all of that. There's the architect's fees, which are pretty hefty. But by God's grace, we have also paid not only the from 486 to 220. In addition to that, we have paid over $40,000 in pre-construction costs. So $40,000 of our new building has already been paid. Are you getting excited this morning? Oh, you're going to love this one. This past week, I just found out, these are the kinds of things that God does. Our general contractor gave $13,000 of his own money to pay down the architect's fees. And get this, he's not charging us for any of the general contracting services, which are usually anywhere from 10% of the project to 17% are general contractor fees. He's doing the entire project gratis. Is this a heritage of miracles? Do we have a heritage of miracles? Do I have to jump around? Or you believe? How many of you believe me? Believe me. People from outside of this church. I am telling you the truth. As God is my witness, God is my witness. People who are not a part of this church have sent tens of thousands of dollars, donations, for this project. That's why I'm saying today, remember all the Lord your God has done, that he has fought for you, how he carried you, and he has brought you all the way to where you are now. We have a heritage of miracles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Most of all, there are the last two things I am so humbly grateful for. And when we put our special offering in just a moment, Pastor Angel and I'm thanking God first of all and most of all for the lives that have been transformed, for souls that have been saved. Our church has grown in number. There have been people whose lives have been transformed. I'll give you one example. There was a young lady named Irene. She's from Norway, and she came several years ago. Was it 3 or 4 years ago, maybe? And we sat with her and prayed. She was broken, just broken, crying. Almost every service she was crying back there sitting with Marie Dell. And Pastor Angel also ministered to her. One service she finally prayed to accept Christ as her Savior. She was brought up in Norway, which is not known as a bastion of Christianity. Somebody say amen if you know what I'm saying. That's an understatement. That's what you call low-key humor, which nobody gets. Anyway. She really got saved. She really got saved. We kept in touch with her. She moved back to Norway. Sister Marie especially. I also did some counseling with her over the phone. Prayed with her. My wife prayed with her. She is really saved. She actually joined Youth with a Mission, missions organization. And she's done some training with Youth with a Mission. She's back in Norway, and now she knows that she has a calling to the government of Norway. Her purpose is to turn the atheism and the radical secularism in Norway and turn them back to God. That's her calling. She's organizing prayer for the legislators, prayer for the civil government of Norway. Somebody get excited in the house of God. Catalyst has a heritage of miracles. I thank him. Most of all, the final one is for his presence. Every time we meet, even Wednesday night, when we're a small group, sometimes we've been as small as 6 or 7 people. But by the time we're through praying on Wednesday night, it always, 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 never fails that God shows up in the prayer meeting. Whether we have a Friday night Good Friday service or a New Year's Eve service or whatever we're doing, God has been blessing this church with his presence. Everybody who comes here says there's something special about Catalyst. So I encourage you today to be a part of a miracle, to be part of what God is doing. And let Catalyst become a response to the corruption that is in this world. I pray that Catalyst will be known as a beacon on a hill, that we will be known as the salt of the earth and the light of the world, that we will take a stand for righteousness. We will take a stand against injustice. That Catalyst will stand up for the homeless. We'll stand up for the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. For those who are addicted. For those who, wives who have been abandoned by their husbands. Come on, somebody say amen. Single mothers who are, our culture is full of people who have been broken. Stand up against racism in our culture and in our politics. Stand up for the sanctity of marriage. Stand up for religious freedom. Stand up for freedom of speech. Hallelujah. Stand up for the Bible. Hallelujah. That Catalyst will count for something. That we will count for something. For missions. For children. For young people. Hallelujah. That our church will be a beacon to God. For God. That we will touch the nations of the world. Would you stand with me? Would you stand with me? We're going to prepare our special gift right now. If you need more time to think about what you will give for this special groundbreaking offering, don't feel pressure. We're going to give you an opportunity again next week and even the following week, which is 2020 Sunday. But I want to do something right now. Just play softly, if you would, Brother Angel. I want to read a blessing, a promise from God that I felt was appropriate for the church at this time. I felt like this whole message was a prophetic pronouncement. Anybody agree with me? Do you feel the spirit of prophecy in this place? I want you to bow your heads and put out your hand because I want you to receive this blessing. I'm going to speak this blessing in faith over your life and over your family. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commandments that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and your young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in, and you will be blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but they will flee from you in seven directions. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord God will bless you in the land he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him. Somebody give the Lord a hand of praise and say, I receive that, Lord. I receive that, Lord. I receive it, Lord. Hallelujah.